Take your Bibles, please turn to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, and we are in this series, The Miracles of Jesus, trying to do them chronologically, at least to the best that we can. Sometimes it's difficult to really pinpoint or place where exactly something happened and in the life of Christ. And the Gospels record the life of Christ, but they don't always record the same thing. And so, we're trying to put those in the order that they occurred. And today, we come to Mark chapter 3, and we're going to look at this miracle that Jesus performed, how he healed the man with a withered hand. And we're going to read verses 1 through 6 of Mark chapter 3 as our text today. And let's go ahead and read these verses. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. He saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. If you study the life of Jesus, the ministry of the Lord, you find that it seems as though the ministry of Jesus Christ was surrounded by disagreement and controversy. That swirled around everything that the Lord Jesus did most, at least when it came to dealing with the Pharisees, because of the fact that every word and every work that Jesus did was always put under the microscope of their judgmental attitude. These Pharisees had this spirit about them and this judgmental attitude about them so that anything and everything that Jesus said or did was put under their own microscope of their way of thinking and judged by their judgmental attitude. And their hatred for Jesus was no secret. And their hatred for Jesus eventually resulted in his death on the cross. But in this text that we're reading, things had not changed. They were still upset at Jesus. And just as a reminder here, these Pharisees were mad because in the context, Jesus had just forgiven a man of his sins. In chapter 2, look in verse 6, chapter 2, verse 6, but there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? We covered this miracle a couple of weeks ago. So they're upset they're reasoning in their heart and they're mad at Jesus because he forgave this man his sins. If you read in chapter 2, verse 16, Jesus had eaten a meal with sinners of all people, and they were upset at that. Look at chapter 2, verse 16. When the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? Look at the scrutiny. Here are the things that everything he does, everything he says, they're judging him with their bad attitude. Jesus ate with sinners. If you look here again in chapter 2, look it down to verse 18. And the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast, and they come and say unto him, Why do the disciples of John and the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not? They were upset at the Lord because that he would not honor their rituals and their ceremonial things. They were upset because he allowed the disciples, just prior to this, you'll see in verse 24, they were walking through a field and they were picking the wheat and eating it on the Sabbath day. The real reason that they were upset with the Lord is because he refused to play ball by their rules. And they despised him for it. That was the real reason. And this passage that we read here in chapter 3, once again, finds Jesus in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And by the way, Jesus did a lot of things, several things, on the Sabbath day on purpose because of these Pharisees. And for example, look in Luke chapter 6. Just hold your place here. In Luke chapter 6, in verse 1, "And it came to pass on the second Sabbath, after the first, that he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, Why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? And Jesus answering them said, Have ye not read so much as this, what David did when himself was an hungered, and they which were with him, how he went into the house of God and did take and eat the showbread, and gave also to them that were with him, which it is not lawful to eat but for the priests alone? And he said unto them that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." Here they were upset at the Lord because of what he did on the Sabbath day. If you look in Luke chapter 6, verse 6 and 11, this is our miracle here that we're talking about today. "And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered in the synagogue and taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him." Here again, on the Sabbath day, the miracle that we covered last week in John chapter 5. Turn over there. John chapter 5 and look at verse 9. "And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath." Jesus did a whole lot of things on the Sabbath day on purpose, because of these Pharisees and their attitude toward God. The Pharisees in our text, if you go back to Mark chapter 3, let's look here again. They had followed Jesus into the synagogue, and the Bible says they were looking for some way to trap him, to discredit him, to destroy his ministry. Verse 1 says, "He entered again into the synagogue. There was a man there with a withered hand, and they watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him." Verse 6 of our text says there, "They sought how they would destroy him." So here the Pharisees are looking for some way to trap the Lord, to discredit his ministry. And they really, as you look through and study things out with the Pharisees and the Lord, they stop at nothing to see him discredited. And this morning, as we study out this text, we're going to see a contrast between the heart of these Pharisees and the heart of Jesus. And as we go through this portion of Scripture today, I want you to examine your own heart this morning. All right? As we look through what the Word of God says, I want you to answer this question about yourself. How's your heart? That's the title of the message this morning. How's your heart? And we're going to see the contrast in the hearts between the heart of the Pharisees and the heart of Jesus Christ. First of all, let's look at the hard heart of the Pharisees. The hard heart of the Pharisees. Verses 1 and 2 shows us their plan. Let's look at 1 and 2. "And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand, and they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him." Here's their plan. We're told that there was a man there which had a withered hand. The word withered means to shrivel. It means to dry up. We read in Luke that it was his right hand. So here's a man who has a shriveled right hand. It was dried up. Now, in Jewish culture, the right hand was considered the clean hand. It was the one that they ate with. It was the one that they extended fellowship with. It was the right hand that they used that was the main. The left hand was considered the unclean hand. And it was used for, you know, bodily functions and other things. They didn't eat with that hand. They didn't shake hands with, they didn't greet people with that hand. It was the unclean hand. But here's a man who has a withered hand, and it's his right hand, Luke says. You can imagine what kinds of things that he was hindered in doing because it was his right hand. It was shriveled up. It was dried up. He could not use it. Now, we can read a whole lot of things from Christian history and tradition and all of that. I've read a few that try to, they speculate on who this guy was and what he was. And some say that this man was a stonemason at one point who had injured his hand on the job in an accident. And the narrative goes on to say that he heard that Jesus was in town and he came to seek healing from the Lord. There's some who speculate that. There are others who speculate that this guy was actually a plant by the Pharisees. The text says that they watched him to see if he would heal on the Sabbath day. They knew this guy was there. And some people believe that this man was placed there by the Pharisees in an effort to try to trap Jesus. It seems from the text that this view is probably more in line with the flow of the text. We don't necessarily know for sure. But a scenario could have been something like this. Because of their hatred for Jesus and their hard heart, maybe they found this guy and they said something to him like this. So, we see that you have an injured hand. Boy, that sure looks painful. Hey, why don't you come with us to the synagogue today? That fellow Jesus is going to be there. He can heal, you know. If you come with us today, there's a good chance that he might actually see you and heal your hand. You know what he's done for other people, don't you? It could have been something like that. Either way, either they had planted this man or they had spotted him in the crowd, but either way, they were watching Jesus to see what he would do. And remember, they're still upset at the Lord from chapter 2 at their encounters with him. They want to find some evidence against him that he's a lawbreaker, and they're looking for any excuse they can put their hands on to end his life and end his ministry. That was their plan. But you know what? Verses 3 and 5 through to 5 tell us their problem. Look at verses 3 to 5. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil? To save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. This reveals to us their problem. What was their problem? Their problem was that Jesus knew exactly what they were doing. Here they had this plan to try to discredit the Lord, but he already knew what they were doing. And so he calls this injured man and he says, stand forth. Come out in front of everybody. What I'm going to do for you is not going to be done in a corner. Everyone's going to see this. And then Jesus asked them a very simple question. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil? Is it lawful to save life or to kill on the Sabbath day? The Bible says they held their peace. They had no answer because any answer that they would give would actually contradict their own teachings. And they would be made to look like the fools that they are. Let me make this application. The problem with these men and with people like them today is that they couldn't have cared less about the needs of this poor injured man. All they cared about was their rules and their ways. And Jesus knows exactly what they're doing, and Jesus knows what their problem is. Mark tells us that they suffered from hardness of heart. That was their problem. These men had been confronted with the truth of who Jesus Christ was many times, and they continually rejected that truth, and as a result, their heart became hard. You know, the word hardness here in our text is the Greek word porosis, and it was the name of a type of marble used in the ancient world. And Jesus knew that their hearts were as hard as unyielding stone. That word, porosis, eventually came to be used of something that is covered with a callus. You know the continual rubbing of the skin produces calluses. And listen, in the same way, continued rejection of truth will cause the heart to become spiritually calloused. And the calloused heart, my friend, will get to the place where it will not hear the voice of the Lord. The calloused heart will not respond to the call of the Lord. And that's a dangerous place to be, my friend. That's how people can sit through gospel messages and preaching right from the Word of God, knowing that they have an issue of their own heart, and they can sit through it and not affect them because they have a hard heart, a calloused heart. Continual rejection of truth causes the heart to become calloused. It causes the heart to become hard as stone. And it's a dangerous place to be. We look at verse 6, and verse 6 shows us their plot. We see their plan. They want to discredit the Lord. They're looking for something. They watched him to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. The problem was that Jesus knew what they were doing, and they had a hard heart. Verse 6 shows us the plot. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. When Jesus healed this man, these Pharisees were even more outraged. They considered this healing to be work on the Sabbath day, all right? In reality, all that the man did was actually stretch out his hand. There wasn't any work that was involved. There was no violation of the Mosaic law going on here. But the truth didn't matter to them. And so it is. Truth doesn't matter to people like the Pharisees. All that mattered to them was their own thinking. Truth doesn't matter to them, even though they say it does. Right? All that mattered was their own thinking and their own way of thinking. They left this meeting here in the synagogue, and the Bible says, look in verse 6 there, straightway took counsel with the Herodians. They left this meeting, and immediately they went and sought out the Herodians. You know who the Herodians were? They were secular Jews who supported the government of Herod the king. They were the exact opposites of the Pharisees. The Herodians had little concern for religious matters. They liked the changes that the Roman government had brought about to Israel. But see, the Herodians didn't like Jesus either, because they saw Jesus as a threat to the peace and the stability of the nation. The Pharisees and the Herodians were actually bitter enemies. They were on the opposite sides of every single issue, but they found common ground in their hatred for Jesus Christ. And so they formed a plot to find a way to destroy him. You know what that word destroy means? It's a Greek word that means to utterly do away with a person or thing, to perish. They wanted Jesus dead, and they set out for ways to accomplish that end. But you know, there's a bit of irony here in this story, as well as a whole lot of hypocrisy. These men are so upset at Jesus because he dared to heal a man on the Sabbath day. And yet they had no problem plotting murder on the Sabbath day. What a bunch of hypocrites. And that, my friend, was the evidence of their hard heart. The callous around their hearts had caused them to become callous toward God and callous toward men. And that is a dangerous place to be. And before we leave this matter of the hard heart, there's some very serious thoughts that need to be considered. Number one, if you've never been saved, there is a danger that your heart will become hardened to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 with me. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Listen, my friend, that may be you this morning, already turned away from the truth, turning your ears to fables. Listen, my friend, if you're not saved, there's a danger that your heart will become hardened to the gospel, because listen, every time that you say no to the call of God, your heart becomes a little bit more calloused. And after a while, the gospel message will cease to speak to your heart. And if the Lord is calling you, you need to come to Jesus Christ while you can still hear His voice, while you still have a chance. Look at Isaiah chapter 55 with me. Hold your place in Mark and look at Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. The Word of God says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near." What's the implication? That there's coming a point in time when He's not going to be found. There's coming a point in time when He's not near. Do it when you have the chance, when you have the opportunity. Some of you here this morning are not saved. You know it. God knows it. You sit through preaching service after preaching service. I've said it before. I'll probably say it again. But seek the Lord while He may be found. You're in a dangerous place, my friend. There's a danger that your heart is going to become hardened to the gospel. There may come a point in time when the gospel message doesn't affect you anymore. And the reason it would be that way is because God is not calling. Seek Him while He may be found. Listen, you know, we teach our children to say no to drugs. We teach our children to say no to alcohol, to premarital sex, and other sinful types of activities. And that's a very good practice. The more that you say no to something, the easier it is to keep on saying no. But when it comes to the spiritual realm, that's a dangerous thing to say no to God. Because when we begin to say no to God, we're headed for trouble. Saying no to spiritual things breeds resistance to spiritual things. And it becomes easier and easier to ignore the voice of the Lord as He calls you. To the point that someday He may stop calling. How's your heart? Here's another serious thought that needs to be considered in relation to the hardness of heart. If you're saved, your heart can become hard too. You can get to the place where you refuse to listen to the Spirit of God. That's called grieving the Spirit of God, Ephesians 4 and verse 30. When we refuse to listen to the Spirit of God, we begin to lose sensitivity to Him and to His ways. You know what I'm talking about. You know, the Spirit of God starts to bring conviction into the heart, maybe about an attitude, maybe about an action, maybe about your tongue, maybe about something. The Spirit of God begins to bring conviction into the heart, but it's something that the flesh loves. The flesh wants to hold on to, and we resist the conviction of the Spirit of God in favor of our flesh. The more we do so, we grieve the Spirit of God. And our heart can become hard too. What is a callus? You know the calluses on your hand? What is that? It's really only scar tissue, is what it is. Scar tissue is insensitive to feeling. And when a heart becomes calloused, it loses its sensitivity to the Lord. Are you sensitive to the Spirit of God? Are you sensitive to conviction of sin? Here's the third application or thought that needs to be considered. We who are saved must never reach the place where we lose our compassion for those who need the Lord. We can become callous to our fellow man. It's so easy to become like the Pharisees in our thinking. Far too many Christian people get to the place where they're just happy to be saved themselves. They seem to forget that there was a time when they were lost and when they needed the Lord too. They seem to forget that there was a time when somebody told them about their need of Christ. And they forget that there are multitudes around us who need a Savior. And listen, as believers, we need a constant reality check so that we don't develop a calloused heart towards our fellow man. These Pharisees couldn't have cared less about this man with a withered hand. They were wanting to see if Jesus was going to heal on the Sabbath for their own ends, for their own purposes. And they had no compassion for this one who was in need. We need a constant reality check, folks, so that we don't develop a calloused heart ourselves. We see the hard heart of the Pharisees, but I want us to consider, secondly, the heart of the Savior, the compassionate heart of the Savior. The heart of the Savior stands out in striking contrast to the hearts of these Pharisees. First of all, I want you to see with me verse 3, his command. Verse 3, And he saith unto the man which hath the withered hand, stand forth. Here's his command to stand forth. Jesus knows exactly what these Pharisees are up to. And he knows that this whole thing is designed to be a trap to ensnare him. But Jesus also knows that this man has a need, a great need. And so he tells him, stand forth. You stand up. Come in front of everybody over here. I want everybody to see this. He wanted everybody to be a witness to the power of God here. And let me just make a quick application as we move on. That is the same intention that the Lord has for your life and for mine, to stand forth. Whether he calls you to come for salvation or whether you're walking with him day by day, he wants to use your life to display the glory of God. And when the Lord saves a soul, my friend, he does it for his own glory. You know what? It's a blessing and a benefit for us, but he does it for his own glory. And he expects that saved person to stand forth and give testimony to the work of God in their heart. That's what he wants to do with your life. Here's the command of the Lord to stand forth. Verse 4 shows us his confrontation. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. So here Jesus confronts these Pharisees with their obvious hypocrisy by asking them two simple, straightforward questions. Is it lawful to do good or evil on the Sabbath? Is it lawful to save life or to take life? I was doing some research, some study, and I found some insight into the mindset of the Jews regarding medical treatment on the Sabbath day. Medical attention could be given only if a life was in danger. To take some examples, a woman in childbirth might be helped on the Sabbath. An infection of the throat might be treated. If a wall fell on anyone, enough might be cleared away to see whether he was dead or alive. If he was alive, he might be helped. If he was dead, the body must be left until the next day. A fracture could not be attended to on the Sabbath day. Cold water might not be poured on a sprained hand or a foot on the Sabbath day. A cut finger may be bandaged with a plain bandage, but not with ointment on the Sabbath day. In other words, at the most, an injury could be kept from getting worse, but it could not be made better. That was the mindset of these Pharisees and these Jews on the Sabbath day. The man that Jesus is facing here, he would not have been worse off if he waited until the next day for healing. But Jesus, on purpose, said, "Stand forth. Come here." It was an opportunity to address the hypocrisy of their unbelief. And so Jesus confronts them with their own heart and their own hardness of heart. Look at verse 5. Here we see his consternation. "And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other." When these Pharisees held their peace, when they refused to answer his question, the Bible says that Jesus was angry. That word, angry, it comes from a word that is used to describe sap rising up in a tree. It has the idea of anger that builds and builds and builds until there's a release of emotion. And it seems from the text here that the longer Jesus sat in the synagogue with these hard-hearted Pharisees, the angrier he became. What was it that made Jesus angry here? He's angry because their hearts are hard. They've continually refused to acknowledge the power and the presence of God. He's angry because they don't have any concern for people. All they have a concern for is their man-made rules and their tradition. We're told here that he was grieved. He looked on them with anger, being grieved. That word, grieved, is a Greek word that means to feel sorrow. He looked on them with anger, and he felt sorrow in his heart. Their attitude toward their fellow man is what broke the Savior's heart. The hardness of their heart and rejection of truth is what broke his heart. It still grieves the Lord today, my friend, and it makes him angry when people refuse to hear the truth. Look at your own heart and life right now. Are you awake here this morning? Are you listening? Look at your own heart right now. Does the Lord have reason to be grieved with you? Are you turning a deaf ear to truth? Do you refuse to hear His voice? Have you allowed your heart to become callous towards the needs of others? Does it bother you that people are headed for eternity in hell? Do you care that your fellowship with the Lord is maybe not what it ought to be or what it used to be? Does it bother you to know that your own heart could be growing harder each day? Does the Lord have reason to be grieved with you? Verse 5 shows us the Lord's compassion. He said to the man, "Stretch forth thine hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. In spite of the Pharisees' attempts to trap the Lord, Jesus told this man to stretch out his hand. And when he did, it was healed. In spite of his anger toward the Pharisees, in spite of their hypocrisy, Jesus still had compassion on the man with the withered hand. You know what? The truth is that Jesus didn't come into this world to get caught up in religious debates over keeping of man-made rules and laws. He came into this world to extend compassion to people who need the Lord. This poor man couldn't solve his own problem, but Jesus could, and he did. And you know what? I was in the same shape one day. Oh, I may not have had a withered hand, but I sure had a withered soul. I was dead toward God, paralyzed spiritually. Jesus moved with compassion, and he brought life to my soul. Thank the Lord. Thank God that he loved me when I was unlovable. Thank the Lord that He was willing to save me by His grace in spite of who I was and what I was. And the truth is, He loves you today, my friend. If you'll come to Him, He'll forgive your sin, He'll save your soul. Let me conclude with this. Hardness of heart is a very, very serious problem. Consider Pharaoh as an example. Look with me in Exodus chapter 7. In the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 7. Just because I say, let me close with this, doesn't mean you can put your Bible away. Oh, he's done. Exodus chapter 7. Look at verse 13. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuseth to let the people go. Look at chapter 8, verse 15. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Look at chapter 10, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him. Before him. Chapter 10, verse 20. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go. Listen, in several different instances, we see that Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Pharaoh hardened his own heart. In a couple of instances, we see that the Bible says that the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. What is the explanation to that? Well, the explanation or the interpretation is that God did not harden Pharaoh's heart in that Pharaoh didn't have a choice. In fact, just the opposite is true. God kept on giving Pharaoh a choice. He kept on giving him a choice. He kept confronting him with that choice so that Pharaoh would have to choose. He'd be forced to say yes or be forced to say no. And his continual saying no is what was hardening his heart. It's not that he didn't have an opportunity. He had all kinds of opportunity. And every time that we have a choice, every time that we say no to the voice of God, the heart becomes more and more calloused. There's a danger of your heart becoming hardened to the things of God. Hardness of heart is a very serious problem. And God does that. He presents truth to us. He confronts us with truth. He gives us a choice. And we have the opportunity to say yes or to say no. Listen, what was the end for Pharaoh? Oh, it ended in calamity for Pharaoh. And people can do the same thing when God confronts them with truth about salvation. Continually turning him away will end in calamity for your soul. Don't be like Pharaoh. How's your heart today? Is it hard like the Pharisees? Or is it tender? God is speaking your heart today. You yield yourself. Yield your will to him. Come to him as he calls. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd have your will and way in this short invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen.